We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com to start winning.
Thing on.
See, now I'm getting mad.
Because it's getting ready to be on.
I want my whiskey to bite me a little bit. This is the kind of psychopath that I hang out with. I got beat up outside of a Denny's.
The Rockpile Report with Buffalo Bills season ticket holder Drew Gear.
He likes to get in the X's nose. Something I can't do with this podcast because I drink too much.
Chris Kruger.
My rollerblading blonde mohawk producer.
The pettiest, hardest drinking Bills podcast.
I'm an adult. I know what I'm about.
A franchise I've fallen in love with. They're so smart and well-run. The Buffalo Bills, best point differential in the NFL. It's not just winning. If you go to the history of the Super Bowl, the team that has lots of blowouts, that steamrolls teams, usually has a personnel and coaching advantage. They are blowing people out. They've trailed just 11 minutes all season. They've had they've had an issue the last couple of years, and it's been a lack of a consistent pass rush. This is a really, really well-run organization. From the owner to the GM to the coach to the quarterback to the coordinator, they just keep adding these elements for Josh Allen. And when you watch them play, folks, they are putting heat on you from every angle. And if you're not ready for it, I don't even count the week one loss to the Steelers. I swear to God, the week one for half these teams felt like the final week of the preseason because nobody played their starters. So since week two on, I think they're the best team in the NFL.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Rockpile Report podcast. I am your host, Bill Seaton, taking over Drew Gear. That's my producer, Chris Kruger. And that was Colin Cowherd from Fox Sports with his herd hierarchy on just how much he appreciates the Buffalo Bills.
Number one.
Wow. Hey, remember we went from frauds to number one in the NFL? God, the national media, right?
You know, I never got to hear that audio from ESPN. You said it was Bart Scott calling us frauds like after week one or two. Never got to hear that.
It's not worth your time now. Folks, what a week, what a week, what a week, what a week for a podcast. Chris, before we dive into the game recap, something that directly impacted our tailgate, and I want to apologize to Sean Siraki, listener who brought his daughter to the game and was searching for us everywhere, trying to figure out where we were.
I was trying to help him out, too. Some of those DMs I sent him were from me.
I know. So, Chris, I'm going to hand you something. This is my broken phone. Yeah.
So you saved it?
So on Saturday, well, because I don't know what to do with it. Now, first, let me start. On Saturday, my wife left with my kid. She said, listen, I'm going to Rochester to a friend of mine's kid's first birthday party. I'm going to be gone all day. It'll be fine. And I said, this is my chance to get everything done. All the things. So I'm running around. I've got the ladder in the house, changing light bulbs and the chandelier in the entryway. I shouldn't call it a chandelier because that makes it sound fancy. I trust you. It's a fixture, a hanging fixture. But either way, I'm doing that. I'm going to the gym. I'm going grocery shopping. I'm running around. And I get back. I go to the gym. I work out. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to pack the truck. And for the first time in my entire life, I packed the truck. Now, you know what was at 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, Alabama, Mississippi. Had it on at work.
So that's a big game for me. So I'm watching the game, and I'm packing the truck. I'm following it on Gamecast on my cell phone. And I'm packing the truck, and I managed to pack the truck for Sunday's tailgate in less than 25 minutes. It's the fastest I've ever done it. I was so impressed with myself, and I was pumped because I thought, like, there's no way I'm going to miss any more than 10 minutes of this game. And then I closed my tailgate, and I heard this crunch that I've never heard before in my entire life. And I realized that I had left my phone sitting on the thing. Now, Chris, you've dropped a Galaxy phone.
Yeah.
It's broken.
Yeah, we're both Galaxy users.
Okay. I want to hand you my broken phone, and I want you to explain to the listeners just how broken it is. That's like a bullet hole right through the front.
Yeah, you have the whole back is shattered. Does it still work?
No! Of course it doesn't still work.
You have it.
That's clean through.
Yeah, it's shattered.
It's a half inch of Gorilla Glass.
Yeah, it's broken right through at the speaker. So I would assume your speaker's broken. But yeah, you have a Galaxy S8 Plus, just like I do. Yeah, this is...
just in 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
But the whole screen isn't cracked, so I assume it all just shut down.
No, it died almost immediately. It's like a bullet hole in the front of my phone. That's how aggressively I shut my tailgate. Now, here's the problem. You need a phone to get into the stadium.
They don't give you the cards anymore?
I mean, there's no cards. Yeah, Chris, you're so out of the loop. It's all contactless. So it's like, oh, download your ticket on your phone. Get the Excelsior pass.
So does everybody...
So you're vaccinated on your phone.
Does everybody have to go in the stadium with you?
No. I transfer them to them, and they download it to their individual phones.
All right.
But it's all paperless. So now at 4:15... when all of the Verizon stores close at 7, I now have to just shower, throw on some clothes, and go find a phone before kickoff.
You didn't have an old phone lying around?
No! Chris, I hang on to phones. I bought this phone 5 years ago. I was going to maintain this phone. The speaker for regular phone calls actually stopped working. I will maintain this phone until it stops. An act of God makes me buy a new one.
Well, don't you have insurance on it?
Not after 5 years. What do you think is happening? They're not going to honor that.
Yeah, just call that insurance company.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
I've done that before where it's broken, and I call or fill out the form online. And they go, well, we don't have that phone anymore. Well, yeah, obviously, because it's discontinued. And then they just upgrade me like two phones above that phone for $100.
3 hours of running around Western New York to three different Verizon stores. I finally come home with a phone. And $1,200 later, I come home with the newest Samsung, which honestly isn't that much different from the one I had. Just a much higher price tag. And now, I kept telling everyone. Like, every Verizon store, I was telling them, they're like, well, if you order it, we can get you. We don't have it in stock, but if you just, like, tell us what you want, we'll have it here tomorrow or the next day. And I'm yelling, it's not tomorrow!
Which store is this?
The Walden store, the Walden and Union store, the Walden and Transit store, the Transit and French store, all of the stores. I went to four different stores because nobody has phones in stock because nothing's in stock anywhere.
What one did you eventually get it at?
Oh, no. I got it at the one on the corner of Walden and Transit after paying $1,200 for the 21 Ultra, the Galaxy S21 Ultra with all the shit that I don't want and fancy cameras I don't need.
Does it have five lenses on the back?
It has five lenses on the back. Who needs that? Like, what am I taking pictures of over here?
Making movies.
It's like these, like these idiot kids need more selfies. No, I need better selfies. Or better yet, I need to take better pictures for my Instagram. No, you don't. What you need to do is to get a job and shut up and stop crying about things. Wait, does that hurt some of your feelings?
It might.
Good.
You know what I'm going to do since you got that new phone?
No.
Since you got that new phone and Christmas is around the corner, I'm going to buy you a selfie stick.
I hate your guts. Here's the question I bring to the podcast. This phone, this destroyed Galaxy S8 had over 7,000 pictures saved on it. The hard drive was almost maxed out. It was just some of the most offensive memes. Hilarious memes. Chris, you know the stuff we joke about.
Yeah.
You know the stuff that we've shared. It's all here on this phone. How do I adequately destroy this phone? Like, I can't just throw it in the garbage.
Light it on fire?
I don't think that's good. I feel like this is the type of thing that, like, Frodo, I'd have to walk across the Mordor Plains to Mount Doom and just go throw into the volcano. Like, I don't know what to do with this phone that, for 5 years, I've just filled with some of the most heinous shit on Earth.
I have no idea. I don't even get the reference that you gave, but I would say...
Of course you don't, because you don't watch movies.
I would say set that thing on fire.
What I do know is that I'm happy that I scrambled around all day on Saturday to find a way to get to the game, because that was worth the price of admission. Our week 4 recap, the Bills 40, the Texans 0. Chris, 0.
Big old goose eggs.
Josh Allen, 28-29, 68.9%, 248 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 1 sack, 103.8 rating. Davis Mills, remember? The giraffe in a coat?
Yes. He's got the longest neck.
11 of 21 for 52.3, 87 yards passing, 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 3 sacks, 23.4 rating. Davis Mills, negative 4 total passing yards in the first quarter.
It's insane.
Tyler Bass, 4 field goals, 0 attempts of more than 35 yards. Houston running backs, 2.68 yards per carry on 16 touches. 28 of their 48 yards came after contact. Buffalo running backs, 143 yards on an even split of 28 carries, 5.1 yards per touch, 91 yards after contact, double what the Texans were able to accomplish. Damn near. Offensive lineman Spencer Brown, just 2 pressures and 2 quarterback hurries. Head coach Sean McDermott, now 9-1 against quarterbacks with less than 1 year starting experience.
Yeah.
Chris, I really wish you could have been there for this game, even though the weather was bullshit. Right?
Yeah, I would love to be at the games.
I mean, we got there. Potter and I showed up at dawn. It rained. We regretted not bringing a second tent, and Mark came through with the Walmart buy of just, like, do you know those mesh, like, screen tents that have, like, the built-in mosquito netting?
Yeah.
Mark found one for, like, $60 at Walmart, brought that as our second tent, but it gave us standing room only. And places for people to set up chairs. We went from standing room only to places for people to set up chairs, coolers, the whole nine. Iman from Q42 showed up, which, if you guys don't know about his sauces and barbecues, you better go find him. It's incredible.
What did you learn this week?
No, this week he just hung out.
There you go.
He watched me grill wings. He kind of oversaw the operation. And I think I did better than the week before. And now I think I'm just going to make this a weekly thing. I'm going to try to grill some wings at every tailgate for the rest of the year. The weather was shitty for the game. It was one of the worst games I've sat through. And yet, not really. Because think about this. From the standpoint of, you can't pull your phone out because it's raining too consistently for you to want to have it in your hand.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're not cold. You're just wet.
Yeah,
and you being a southerner, you know, wet but warm, like, it's just a minor inconvenience. It's not actually.
Yeah, a rain game is probably the worst when it comes to weather. Like, I would rather sit through something like the Colt game a few years ago than
like I did.
Yeah, like, instead of sitting through a rain game.
We're sitting in the seats. It was actually a really cool game because from start to finish, we not only had a great view of the game itself, but we were next to some Texans fans who I got to hear some of the most hilarious game day commentary from. There was a kid who literally at one point, like I'm walking, he got up to go take a piss and so did I at the same time. And as we're walking down the stairs, like we heard Davis Mills get sacked. And they're like, that's a sack. Oh, he's brought down. And he took his hat off and fake threw it two or three times. And then just looked at me because I was staring at him. And he goes, just yelled at the top of his lungs, I don't know what we did to deserve this. And I hugged him. I hugged him and I was like, it's not your fault.
It's Bill O'Brien's fault.
This isn't your fault. And then on our way out of the stadium, we decided, we were like, all right, it's 33-0. If the Bills don't score on this drive, when it ends and they punt, we'll watch the Texans drive and then we'll start walking. So we start walking down. I get separated from the guys as I usually do. And I'm walking out and I stopped and talked to Tony, our usher. And I'm leaving. And all of a sudden I see fireworks. And I hear them talking about a touchdown. And the sheriff goes, wait a minute. What the hell is going on in there? And I'm like, it's anarchy. I saw them bench. I saw them bench Josh Allen after that drive. Whatever else is happening now, it's in God's hands. Like, this is just an act of God. It's an act of God. The clouds parted and God said, I hate you, Houston. So if we're going to recap the actual on-field action, David Culley and his group just had a piss poor day. And there was a moment right out of the gate to start the game where I knew that the ceiling was going to cave in on them quickly, regardless of what the Buffalo Bills did. It came on just this one possession. You know, they go down the field, they fail, they punt. Opening possession, you know, they get the ball to open the game, they punt. The Buffalo Bills get it in their own end. Josh Allen on the first play of the game throws an interception. That's the type of shit that you would... Chris, when that happens...
I watched it. Okay. I watched it, walked out of the break room, and angrily drove away.
Yeah, because in your head, you're like, that's the moment that a shitty team gets a leg up on us, and maybe that's the play that lets them hang around for longer than they should, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me explain to you, since you weren't there, why it didn't happen. And it came down to one, well, actually a series of things, but it started with one thing for me. Matt Milano is a godsend for this Buffalo Bills defense because I watch on this third down play. They get the ball on the 13-yard line. They have a 10-yard run to the 3. Now they're looking. They say, okay, we have to get yardage on this play or else it's fourth down. You know, a penalty takes them back. Now they're, hey, we need to get yardage. It's third. Milano creeps up into the A-gap, but as he's going, he's pointing at Micah Hyde, and he's going, over there, to the left. Just go to the left. Just go to the left, and I'm going to go this way. And I watch him do the thing with his two hands like he was like a Navy SEAL, like two hands left, two hands straight. And then he does like some weird X thing with his hands. And I'm just like, okay, well, he's directing traffic for this defense. Isn't Tremaine Edmonds the play caller, Chris?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Okay. Yet, here's Matt Milano just on the fly telling Micah Hyde, go over there because I'm diagnosing the play and I already know what's going to happen. They snap the ball and he crashes inside the B gap. And when he does it, David Johnson doesn't know where to go. So then he tries to bounce outside to his right, and that's when Jerry Hughes just smokes his ass in the backfield. No gain. Now it's fourth down. On fourth down, they run the worst running back. I don't want to say worst. Here's what it is. You ran a screen to a running back. The running back's out there in the flat, and there's no safeties over the top, so it looks like it's a touchdown. But it's because Jerry Hughes is over there, and he's not going to blitz you. He's just playing. Do you remember last year in that game against Seattle?
Yeah.
Where Jerry Hughes could have sacked
Russell Wilson. But then just contained him.
Just contained him. That's all Jerry Hughes was there to do, was just hands up. Not going to give you an easy throw over my head. If you try, I'm going to jump. And he tips it. Mm-hmm. But Davis Mills panics because he sees Hughes coming unblocked and tries to throw it over his head. It gets tipped, no gain. They turn it over on downs. The day literally never got better from there. And I'll tell you what, if you're a team who's, what, a 17-point underdog, the fact that they gave you the opportunity to score points, another team gifted you the ball on their fucking doorstep, and your answer was, let's get cute. You're not cut out for this. You're not cut out to win this football game. That was a bullshit play call from a bullshit coaching staff. You literally, instead of taking the points and giving your team some semblance of confidence, like, hey, look, they made a mistake. We capitalized on it. We're leading the game. No one thought we'd have a lead. No one thought we would score points. So let's feel good about ourselves and go out there and build off that. Instead, what the Texans decided to do was one of the dumbest play calls in that moment, because you don't think that a defense like ours can contain you for 3 yards. You haven't done anything worth a damn.
And they weren't going to do anything worth a damn all day.
It never got better. And they're just in terms of play selection, play design, and then you look at what their overall game plan was. I mean, Chris, we spent 10 to 15 minutes last week talking about the struggles of Houston's offensive line, right?
Yeah.
Turnovers, long drives by Buffalo didn't help their cause because they just didn't get a massive volume of offensive plays in this game. But I still don't know what the Texans set out to accomplish because they didn't emphasize any one style of play. It's literally like their offensive coordinator was just going into a hat and randomly picking out plays that were written down on a piece of paper. Like you were doing a fantasy draft. Or you were trying to settle some weird bullshit Chinese raffle. It really bothers me. The fact that looking back at this, you only ran 20-something, 30-something plays, and I still don't know what you were trying to accomplish. I mean, look at it this way, Chris. Here's the numbers. You had 11 rushes. You're heavily under duress at the line of scrimmage. 1/4 of all running back carries ended in a tackle for loss. So clearly running the ball is not on the menu today. You were 3 for 8 on passes of more than 10 yards with 3 interceptions. So clearly you didn't draw up a bunch of diverse route combinations to draw defenders away from the people you were targeting, right?
Yeah.
No screen game, just dump offs from a rattled quarterback who had no idea what else to do. And as we predicted, Brandon Cooks, more than any other wide receiver, saw targets. And he was the only non-running back with more than one reception. How the fuck does that happen to an NFL football team?
When you lack talent, that's what happens.
I mean, Brandon Cooks, 7 targets, only 2 first downs, both of them coming garbage time at the end of the fourth quarter. You take those out, he had 32 yards with no first downs through 3 quarters and 1 interception. Because everybody knew it was coming! Our defense smothered literally everything they were trying to accomplish. Now, part of that is fantastic execution, and part of that is game script that was so poorly put together that I'm pretty confident anyone who's played more than an hour or two of Madden could have done the same job for less money. How many times, Chris, have I said, like, I could do better than that?
How many times could I call a better game than that? Yeah, or how many times have you said, I could go out there and do better?
I could do that. And that's the worst part. Like, having been hit by a guy who was like an undrafted free agent into the NFL, yeah, he turned me inside out. But I could do the same job they did. I would just cost the franchise less money. I mean, someone should get me on the phone with the McNair family and just let them know, hey, listen, there's an asshole in Buffalo who is willing to dial up the same garbage game plan that we put in against Buffalo, but he'll only do it for 5 12 packs of moose head. What? $25,000?
Yeah.
$25,000. $25,000, buy me a new truck. We're even.
That's a reasonable contract offer.
That's a reasonable offer.
Bills football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Bills tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee site, and the only one you'll ever need is your go-to NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Visit TickPick.com/Rockpile today and use the promo code ROCKPILE to save $10 on your first order of Bills tickets.
Are you finally ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. The excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. Get exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on the action with your favorite teams and players from the NFL, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Right now at WynnBET, you can find great promos, odds, and payouts from boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport. WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I mean, Brett was right last week when he walked us through what his team was with Cully and company at the helm. A group that's so under-talented that they need Herculean coaching performances to buoy them. And clearly they don't have it. Because on a day when the Bills were slow to get off the starting blocks and even gifted the Texans an opportunity to take the lead, they amounted to nothing more than a speed bump like a bunch of raccoons playing chicken out on the I-90. It's a bullshit coaching job by a bullshit franchise with a bullshit team. It's frustrating for me because I wanted them to be more respectable. Just so this win would feel a little bit better. Now, for people who need to feel better, Chris, you've seen it. People who are still complaining about Josh Allen. Still.
You're always going to get those people.
Those people are idiots. I mean, it's wild to me that there's folks upset with the state of the Bills' offense.
Yeah, you've let it go.
I've learned to admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah, you've let it go and also paid for it in the form of a steak dinner.
Yes, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But listen, that's the price of greatness, right?
Eagle rare and at stake.
It's sort of nuts to think about this, right? Like, I'm the guy who once famously chipped his elbow permanently. Like, my elbow will never heal. While falling off a podium after watching Josh Allen lead our team to victory against the Tennessee Titans. Before, and I can say... I understand some of the griping, right? Like, I get it. You're a detractor of Josh Allen. I've backed off of it. And I get where some of their needling points are. Four drives that were either in or just on the cusp of the red zone that resulted in field goals. The awful, it happened right in front of us, the awful overthrow to Moss on what should have been a touchdown pass. The team... After a weird, like, hey, we're going to go to the line of scrimmage and then take a timeout, then Josh is going to come talk to the coaches, and then he's going to come out and try to draw the defense offside instead of going for it on fourth down. Do you get to see that, Chris?
No, I don't think so.
So right before the half, instead of going for it on fourth down, the team was going to go for it, and then McDermott called the timeout. And then they talked to Josh, and Josh went out and tried to bait them off sides, and then they kicked a field goal. And everyone was mad It's like, oh, what the fuck? Chris, he just missed a pass to Zach Moss. I don't know. If you're a coach, I want them points, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The only egregious mistake I saw from Allen was on the very first play, and it happened right in our end zone. That interception throw. He literally never saw the safety. He didn't pump fake. He didn't look off the defender. I legitimately think he thought that that guy was moving, and he wasn't. He was just standing still, and he telegraphed his intent to throw that pass. All the guy had to do was hop, and he had the ball, and it was a pick inside of the red zone. That was the only thing Josh Allen did all day that I have a complaint about. He also had a few passes sail on him, and it's okay to be frustrated because even in inclement weather, we'd expect the highest paid player will execute regardless of the conditions, and that didn't work out. But even in that, in a game where the Texans' cover two system by default made passing to guys like Cole Beasley and Gabe Davis over the middle a lot more difficult, they took away a lot of the seams. They took away a lot of that middle game that we like to throw. So many things went right that Josh and only Josh Allen could have managed. First of all, I'm sure you've all seen the highlight. Chris, I'm sure you've seen it. The deep completion to Diggs for 31 yards.
Yep.
There's immediate pressure off the snap. He's in the shotgun. He takes the snap, sees the guys break through the line. He wheels to his right, easily eludes them, comes around back towards the line of scrimmage, and while on the run, how accurate is that throw to a guy who's running out of bounds?
Well, I believe coming out of college, that was Josh Allen's go-to, is he's way more accurate rolling out of the pocket. It was just, there's only like two or three people in the NFL that can make those throws.
Diggs would go on to have his first 100-yard game of the season. Something we also teased last week was possible considering how poor their coverage units are. But that doesn't happen without a quarterback willing to make those throws to a guy that he trusts to just go up and get it. Another thing, the pump fakes and resets while passing were spot on, including the one he used when he was looking to throw a little quick. Chris, the Knox touchdown. He's looking short. Because at the line of scrimmage, all of the Texans players come up to the line. So he's thinking, okay, it's a jailhouse blitz. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at a running back. I'm looking at a quick wide receiver slant in. Then they drop into coverage, and it takes away some of the stuff he wants to do. But he's already set his feet because he thinks he knows where his predetermined hot read is. He literally just comes out of it. Hard reset, which freezes the linebacker, and then he pump fakes, which freezes the safety. By the time he throws the ball, Dawson Knox is wide open. It's incredible to watch him operate in a vacuum. If you took out all the nuance, where he was on the field, what's at stake, what the game is, and just watch that one play, the Knox touchdown, the mechanics he shows in that shows that he's one of the best quarterbacks in football right now.
I like it.
It's incredible. And then, on that second touchdown to Knox, we're in the red zone. You're like, okay, well, what can we expect? What can we expect? He fakes like he's going to run it in, which draws in the linebacker, and it's just an easy little pitch over the top to Knox for the second touchdown. All the nuanced things that he wasn't doing with regularity against Pittsburgh and Miami, they've been on display ad nauseum over the last 2 weeks. So you can be mad that he and the offense didn't score 50 or 60, if you feel so inclined. Know that mechanically, Allen has already surpassed where he was just 2 or 3 weeks ago. That should make everybody feel pretty damn good. If there's another silver lining I can come away with this with, it's the rushing attack. As a team, the Bills had 37 carries for 205 yards. The running back by committee was in full force. It was an even split of carries. And I think between the two of them, if I'm looking at my notes here, what do I got here, Chris?
Literally, you have actual notes on a Post-it.
Actual notes on a Post-it. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, so what I'm looking at, The running backs themselves, 143. What I like is that the leading rusher was Devin Singletary. Even though Zach Moss, like if you ask fans and you ask a lot of other content creators who are out here doing this, they felt like Zach Moss, like, hey, this was the Zach Moss game. They leaned towards him more. They gave him more opportunities. Devin Singletary was the more dynamic running back. What are you? Which of these two guys have you liked more so far this season?
It's hard to. I like both, but personally, I just like Zach Moss's run style, and it goes back to his interview. I think when he came out of college about business decision for people, and he's just a north-south runner. That's what I like about him. I slightly prefer a Zach Moss.
See, I'm watching Devin Singletary play a different style. I don't want to say a different style of football than he's played before, but he looks different. You see him with a little more pop. That I think the biggest play for me of the game was the one that didn't happen. The one that Darrell Williams got called for. You can all call it ticky-tack. It was holding. We called it from the stands that it was holding. Because I'm like, oh, I see exactly why. The guy tried to pull away. He didn't let him go. The ref is probably going to call that because he ran right off his hip. They ran that way, but that was a way more dynamic run than anything Zach Moss has put on tape yet. Zach Moss can do it in a 5-6 yard box, which is why we drafted him. But if I'm looking for a dude who can crack a long run for a big play, has Zach had any of those? The answer is no.
But he gets you 7.
Okay. But what I like is Singletary's, like, hey.
Contact balance.
He might have some quick strike ability here if we can get him more involved. I really like the way that this is evolving between the two running backs. And then I'm going to open a fresh one for this, Chris. I now have 3 open beverages during this podcast.
Nice.
Spencer Brown and Boogie Basham's debut. Now, I was in line to enter the stadium in the pouring rain when somebody brave enough to have their phone out announced that both Boogie Basham and Spencer Brown were going to be active for the game while Cody Ford was going to probably ride pine.
Yeah, I noticed that when they walked out on that field, I saw just from the shot behind the Bills sideline, I saw Cody Ford on the sideline and went, ooh. They're rolling with a new 5, and then they showed the graphic on screen that Spencer Brown was starting.
Spencer Brown. Now, Chris, I don't know if it's all this beer talking, because I just killed one. Didn't some drunken idiot in last week's show kind of insinuate that this might be the week to see what you have?
Yeah, we both said that.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I mean, I just want to make sure that, you know, hey, that it was talked about.
Yeah.
God, I love taking victory laps. First of all, Boogie Basham. I'll start with him. He didn't see a lot of playing time. Literally just 9% of all the snaps. I mean, if you're going to look at it, it's he on its face, you go, hey, he didn't get a lot of playing time. No, he didn't. But he made the most of it. He gets a sack in the opponent's, inside the opponent's 10-yard line?
Yeah.
In fact, I have it up here now in front of me. Carlos Basham, he had exactly, actually, wait a minute. No, in this game, he was part of the rotation. He was 9% of overall for the year stat snaps. See, look, even in my prep work, I'm a hack. Just drunken Bills fan. 49%, he played the rotation. In that 49% of snaps, though, he managed to obtain a number of quarterback pressures, a sack, his first one of his career in his first game. Isn't that what surprised people about Rousseau? They're like, wait, Rousseau, he's getting pressure. He's coming on in his first and his second game. These young kids are acclimating quicker than I think people give him credit for.
Yeah, well, most of the talk in the offseason was that a lot of people thought Basham was had progressed more in the offseason and OTAs than Rousseau.
Right? So it's crazy to think that Rousseau has been doing so well. Now they look to Boogie in a game where they're like, we probably won't need all of the depth. Let's let a young kid get his feet wet. I'd say he hit the ground running. I'd say Boogie Basham hit a good game. I'm not gonna go back and rewatch every snap of his to know how he was in containment. What I do know is I watched those pass rush reps. He looked like he didn't look lost. Now, for a first-year player, like we talked about it here earlier this year, is he this year's AJ Epenesa?
Could be.
Is he the guy who, as they trim him down and kind of build him into being more of the defensive end they envision him being later, is that not going to pay dividends for him down the stretch?
Yeah.
They need rotational defensive ends who can fill in.
Yeah, just as long as we don't hit an injury bug on the line.
But I like the fact that they got him in and that he made an impact right out of the gate. But the big story has to be Spencer Brown, right?
Correct.
Spencer Brown was one of those guys. This is what I like about him. And Chris, paper notes. That's how you know I'm serious. Because when I'm writing these, I'm half in the bag.
Did you have that at the game?
Not at the game because it was pouring rain, but literally in the truck when I got home, I pulled out the notepad and just started writing down my immediate thoughts. And then I go back and it, sure enough, the tape and the numbers back a lot of this up. First of all, I said nastiness that fits with his profile. Now, if you go back, I'm looking at thedraftnetwork.com. When they were pre-draft talking about Spencer Brown, and they didn't do a big workup on him because he wasn't one of the top 10, right, Chris? I mean, when you're talking about offensive tackles, you don't go deep. You usually just kind of gloss over, like, here's the guy's strong suits, here's what he sucks at, he's an FCS player, nobody knows. I'm going to read to you what the draftnetwork.com had to say about Spencer Brown. He aligned at right tackle for UNI's offense. He's a leggy, somewhat high-cut player with rare length. He plays with a nasty disposition and plays hard from snap to whistle. He's a good athlete with regard to balance and body control. Now, I want to stop right there. First of all, one of the things that I saw, first of all, Zach Moss is running, and he looks like he's going to go down. And you watch Spencer Brown manhandle him forward for an extra 3 yards. Why? Because that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
You care about getting yardage. I'll move you. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're all going. Also, his attitude. His attitude, being a rookie in his first start, Chris, the video, I have it over at Rock Pile Report. I've retweeted it. It's by Ted Goldberg TV.
Is it that first down?
They caught Spencer Brown getting into it with Texans DB Desmond King, who's 5'10".
Oh, yeah.
Literally, they got into a little bit of a shoving match, and he just looked over the top of his head like, I'm sorry, you must be this tall to get in my face. Oh, you can't. You better shut the... Chris... You have to be this tall to talk to me like that. Oh, well, then you better shut the fuck up. And then later on, after King came back, after his teammates pulled him away and King started walking back, he waved him on and goes, listen, dude, you want it? Come get some. I'll be right here.
I
love the cockiness from this kid. I love it. The swagger. Isn't that what you want from a tackle?
Yeah, he definitely has the personality to play tackle. He's out there, like the I think they drew an offsides, and then he walked like 5 yards and did like a big windmill for a first down.
It was the third and five where they drew an offsides and then got the first down because of it, and he celebrated it in their faces. He's got personality, but personality for your offensive tackles. I mean, for any of you who aren't listening to the off tackle over at SB Nation with John Fina,
yeah,
he'll tell you all about it. He had some really good points about Spencer Brown this week that I think you'll all want to hear, especially if you're as hard on the guy as I am. But that's what I want out of my tackles. I want you to be a little nasty. I want you to be shady. I want you to be talking shit to the opposing team. Darrell Williams gets to slide inside, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute, but I think that the fact that McDermott has already said that this is my starting five for next week against KC speaks volumes to the job Spencer Brown did. I mean, Chris, when you watch the guy in pass protection, this is the thing I saw. Everything that they talk about for being a positive with him, you know, they go, listen, he's fluid. He's big. He's long. He's going to be – speed guys are going to have a real hard time with him. Power guys are going to have a hard time because he's got a good anchor. You saw all of that. Does he have room to improve? Obviously. He wasn't perfect. He let up two hurries against Charles Omenihue, who wasn't – Chris, there's going to be far better edge rushers that play the Buffalo Bills this year.
Yeah, there was a might have been the second quarter where Allen missed Davis in the back of the end zone.
Yes.
And I don't know what it's called where the defensive linemen cross each other. And Spencer Brown got tied up in that with the guard with a miscommunication, and I think both of them got through the line. Was that like a stunt?
Yes. Or a twist, depending on which way it goes.
I saw that. There's a little miscom.
He's a rookie, and he's not a highly drafted rookie. But when you look at the way that he handled everything, I mean, Eric Turner has a really good breakdown of him over at Cover One. I'd suggest you go check that out because that's where I went to first off because I was like, I want to make sure that what I saw on game day is actually what I saw. And he picked a couple plays of his to kind of illustrate, hey, look, here's where he struggled, but here's where he did really well. Spencer Brown might just have given our offensive line the dynamic they needed because, look, Cody Ford wasn't getting it done. Now, Dominic Barbaraz on Twitter came at me the other day and said, I was giving my kid a bath and I didn't have time to get into a Twitter war with him. But he's talking about how, oh, you're talking about numbers, but... you know, Spencer Brown and Darrell Williams at guard wasn't any better than Cody Ford was over the first four games. No, you're right. You're right in this one game where he got last minute shuffled from right tackle to guard. Darrell Williams was not overwhelmingly better than Cody Ford was at guard. You know what else he didn't do? Was put him free for pass blocking. He didn't put up a 3.6 pass blocking grade. Now, mind you, that is again against subpar competition. But, Chris, we've seen what Cody Ford is. We've seen what Cody Ford is against top flight competition. We saw it last week. He got worked. He was awful. Do you blame the team for shuffling the deck?
No. You want to have your best five linemen out there.
If you think that Spencer Brown can be even a serviceable right tackle, or potentially, not an upgrade from Darrell Williams, but at least he's more athletic in space, he brings you a little bit something extra in the run game because he can get out there and get to the second level faster, and also, not for nothing, but you're putting a bigger guy on the inside of an offensive line who's been good in that spot before. I just feel like this is almost addition by subtraction, correct?
Yeah.
Now, Dominic, I didn't have the time to tweet all of this at you, and I don't have the inclination because I don't go to war with people on Twitter. I'll leave that to Greg. I'll leave that to Greg Thompson and Aaron Quinn. But the reality is that these two guys had their coming out party, and both of them looked pretty good. And getting the nod this morning that Spencer Brown is going to be the starting right tackle, probably going to go up against Chris Jones. Do you know how much respect they must have for Spencer this week?
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. This is his first real test. Let's see if he can do it.
Chris, when everything goes wrong, who do you blame?
Usually you.
Yeah. I always say, when everything on your football team goes wrong, you can't blame one person, you blame the coach. When everything goes right, you thank the head coach. And this week's hero, it's head coach Sean McDermott.
Do you know who the real heroes are? The guys who wake up every morning and go into their normal jobs
and get a distress call from the commissioner and take off their glasses and change into capes and fly around fighting crime.
Sean McDermott had this team ready to go. They worked the Texans and never let them get off the mat. I like that. I like that even late in the game, their defense, their back, Cam Lewis, comes in the game. He's still making stops. Still making plays. Jaquan Johnson, this might be the game where you look at it and you go, wait, that was the game where Jaquan Johnson was really good. And he's a depth player on this team. Chris, isn't that his specialty?
Yeah, I also like the fact that Sean McDermott didn't allow them to have that look ahead moment to what's going to happen this week.
See, that's
so that could have been, like, the Houston game easily, as bad as Houston is, that could have been a trap game, but McDermott had those boys ready to play.
I heard all that bullshit all week long. Oh, trap game. Oh, this has trap game written all over it. Anyone dumb enough to put that into print? I want you all to boo that man. Boo!
It might be trap game in the sense that the Texans could have covered.
Yeah, they might have covered, and yet they never came close. Because our head coach has built a culture of accountability here, and everybody knows that every week you're accountable to do your job. That's what makes what these young players did this weekend so special, I think. That in a space where everybody is supposed to do their job every day at the highest level possible, and that's what not just what they want, but what's expected of you. Spencer Brown was able to step into the lineup and do that, right? He wasn't an out-and-out liability. He had some rookie moments, but on the whole, he was better than what anyone could have expected. Boogie Basham comes in. He did what was expected of him.
Did his 111th?
Did his 111th. And that's what these players do. It's what they're coached to do. They don't get to see the lineup unless he knows they're willing to do it, capable of doing it. It's incredible to me. We've never seen it here in Buffalo. I mean, at least not in my adult lifetime. Not in the life cycle of this podcast have we seen a team this competent from top to bottom. And that, inevitably, in a week like this, you have to find a zero, right?
It's hard.
And it's hard when you win 40 to nothing. So we dug deep for this one. And we decided this week's zero goes to Buffalo Fanatics host of the 585 Report, Ryan Sullivan.
Fucking embarrassing!
Sports Rock on Twitter. Or is he Sports Rock 2?
Sports Rock 2.
He's Sports Rock 2 on Twitter. He came to our tailgate. He was tailgating less than 100 feet away from us. And at one point, a drunk Mark Smith decided that he was going to take him a bologna sandwich. Now, it's a slice of Oscar Mayer on potato bread with literally the cheapest fake, like not even Kraft singles, that at least have a little bit of milk in them. Like this is like the 79 cents for a pack of 12 slices of government cheese. He makes him a bologna cheese potato bread sandwich, takes it over across the parking lot. Doesn't that kid take a bite out of it and go, yeah, this isn't bad? It's dry! There's not a condom on that fucking thing, and you're going to tell me it's dry? Oh, you're going to tell me this is okay? Oh, my God! If that's okay, I don't want to know what your idea of bad is.
It's a sandwich for a child.
It's, dude, my son Jack will eat raw bologna. If I put it on a piece of bread, he picks it off. Sports Rock has a worse taste, sense of taste than my son, who's 16 months old. It's embarrassing. I also have a runner-up here, and it's Trevor. Trevor, if we're talking about this, and I know you're listening now, it was awesome seeing you. It was awesome having you at the tailgate. But I got to tell you, you forgetting those keys, oh, if you're not the zero of the week for us, you're definitely the zero of the week for your wife, because she... I don't know how you made it back without getting your eyes gouged out. This guy left his hotel, came to party with us, 8 o'clock in the morning, took the rental car keys with him.
So you Ubered to the tailgate with the rental car keys.
Then had to Uber back to the hotel, then had to Uber back to the tailgate. How hilarious is that? Three Uber rides for one like Bill's morning party. But it shows his dedication to it. And I'm happy you did come back because you showed up right when the food was coming off the grill. So your timing was good. But also, you were just know that if Ryan Sullivan didn't love bologna so much, you might have been the zero of the week. I just appreciate your dedication, and I appreciate you coming out for the tailgate.
How good are the Bills now that when we look for a zero of the week, we're going to the tailgate?
We're literally just making fun of people who show up to hang out with us. I love Trevor. I love Trevor, and I think it's hysterical that that whole situation unfolded because I watched him walk away, and I was like, wait, is he okay? And one of the girls was like, nope, he's not going to be. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. This team has come a long way. I mean, Chris, your final thoughts leaving this game.
Well, can we do this thing that you have to drink while
also,
I
guess I'm also a runner-up for zero of the week because, Chris, I bet you last week.
That's like one of the stupidest like bets
really
you could
confident.
Make.
I was really confident.
Like, how lame are we that we're betting a coverage map of where the Bills game is getting aired locally?
It's how good the football team is.
Yeah, so we made the bet. Drew thought the Bills game wasn't going to go be available locally past Syracuse, and it made its way all the way to Vermont and New Hampshire and parts of Massachusetts. So with that, I'm going to give you Wildberry Seagram's.
Oh, God, come on.
Right here.
It's
the closest one.
Oh.
For me to grab and get a wild berries, I'll give you my final thoughts on the game. You,
bottoms up.
You pound that. One thing I don't like is that every time I try to watch the replay on Game Pass on my TV, I have to log into our account every single time, and it's annoying. I really like the way that McDermott handled. Yeah. There. Get it out.
Wow!
I really like how McDermott handled the situation of brain freeze. Not looking forward to the Chiefs and keeping the focus on the Texans game and giving somebody like Spencer Brown a start, which I don't think he's getting out of the starting lineup anytime soon. We're going to play our best five against Kansas City. It was a good solid win, and I'm ready for Buffalo to get a win against some real competition this Sunday.
Oh, God. Guys, Seagram's bets. I don't know if I'm getting older or if these things are getting harder, but Jesus, it really rocks your world. I feel like for anyone, Chris, I know you haven't seen the movie, but School for Scoundrels.
Nope.
With Josh Heder and Billy Bob Thornton. Where the guy's describing what a swirly is to another guy. One of the losers talking to another loser, and he goes, it's when someone holds you down in the toilet and flushes it against your face. He goes, it rocks your world, but not in a good way. That's what chugging a Seagram's is. Jesus Christ. Whew. The Texans, they're a mess, right? They're a mess of a franchise and one of the most underwhelming rosters in the NFL. And the Buffalo Bills treated them exactly the way I think that you need to treat that team. It was Alabama versus the Citadel. And that's what I expect to see from a championship caliber team against one that's literally a rowboat with one oar and a hole in it. That's what I thought about it going into this. This had the feeling of a warm-up game. Now, Chris, you know the long-standing rivalry between Alabama and Auburn.
Yep.
Gets settled at the end of every year with the Iron Bowl. And in that way, both teams schedule absolute cupcakes right before that game. They both schedule tune-up games leading into this. Just to make sure that they can exercise some things, try some things out, that they're firing on all cylinders. So that when they go into this really important football game, they have all their ducks in a row. Didn't this have that kind of a feel to it?
Yeah.
I look at the two teams, Kansas City and the Eagles, and I say Kansas City and the Eagles and Buffalo and Houston. I say, well, we handled our garbage team. You let them score 30 points. Yikes. You let them... Ugh. Chris, what is there that... I mean, the Eagles aren't good this year.
No, they're not.
They're not anywhere near...
That's why they're trusting an Alabama quarterback.
They're not anywhere near the top of their division.
No.
And yet, the Chiefs let them hang 30 points on them.
They got to get that defense figured out.
As long as Matt Milano's doing okay, he's able to play, we came out of this game none the worse for wear, and the team got a chance to tinker with some small things. I mean, in the intro to the show, we heard Colin Cowherd anoint us as the best team in football in his eyes. And is there anybody who can trash that at this point? I mean, Chris, we've easily just handily dismantled every team that's been put in front of us since the week one loss to Pittsburgh. Every week we're finding new things out about our team, including new faces that we're figuring out can contribute that no one, even some of our favorite bald yet hilarious content creators, could have ever predicted. Yes, Aaron Quinn, that's a shot at you. In fact, I'll drop all the pretext. Aaron Quinn hated the fact that Spencer Brown might get playing time, and he's going to eat his share of crow for it. He did post-game. I assume he will continue to. Just, it's awesome. We're literally crushing the life out of any team with a handful of deficiencies in a way that no other team is doing through four games. We're the most dominant defensive team in football right now. And people point to that and say, well, you played this quarterback. You played Davis Mills. You played Heinicke. You played Brissett. You're right. But we didn't just beat them. I mean, think about it. If you're the Raiders and you played the Dolphins with Jacoby Brissett in his first start and you let him take you to overtime. If you're the Atlanta Falcons and you lose to Taylor Heinicke late in the game in a high-scoring affair. If you're anyone who the Texans even gave like a little bit of a kerfluffle to, we dominated these teams. Our defense took them apart. Then you look at what Colin Cowherd, because we heard it at the top of the show, how happy he was to anoint the Buffalo Bills number one. This is what he had to say about the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, who beat Cleveland and worked for it, listen, their defense is a huge concern. They can't get teams off the field, but they've had one three and out all year. They've had six punts all year. This is an offensive story. This is Oklahoma Sooner football. Are they good enough to win a national title? I don't know. But offensively, it's wizardry. Mahomes is now 40-10 through his first 50 starts. They're smartly coached. Mahomes is tremendous. But I do worry that their defense allows you to make Mahomes a spectator for long stretches.
11 minutes trailing for the Buffalo Bills. Six total punts for the Kansas City Chiefs. Who deserved to be talked about as the best team in the NFL? I don't emphatically know. I don't. I'm not willing to say it's us, but Chris, why the hell not? Why not us? Why not the Buffalo Bills? I can go to sleep at night happy, knowing that the Buffalo Bills might be one of the best teams in the NFL right now. God,
I love it,
guys. We have a week packed full of shows for you. We have our preview show that's going to air tomorrow night with Brett Coleman from the Film Room and the Bootleg Football Podcast. We have a packed AFC East roundup where we're going to talk to Christian Simonelli, our fan extraordinaire, who's going to come talk to us about all of his emotions from beginning to end of the return of Tom Brady to Foxborough. It's going to be a great week of podcasts. Make sure you come back for every single one of it. But for tonight, we got to get the hell out of here. I'm Drew Geer. That's Chris Krueger. And this has been your Rock Pile Report. And before we get out of here tonight, I want to tell you guys about a company that they're kind of close to me. I'm a patron. I want you guys to get to know them. If you're like me, you're probably a drinker. You probably party pretty hard for Bills games. If you go to the stadium and you're out there with me, you probably come home when you're pretty tired. And if you have kids, you probably run into days where you don't know, hey, we need dinner on the fly. I'm not sure what to do. Let La Via Italia be the answer for that. They've been around for 50 years. They're a company most people don't even, I don't want to say most people don't know about, but they're a company that's been around for a very long time, based out of Eden, New York, now established in Hamburg. When you think about what pizza costs, right, you think about frozen pizza. You're used to DiGiorno, you're used to things packed full of preservatives. What if you could get Buffalo pizza, handmade, flash frozen, and delivered to your doorstep? Whether it's shipped to you or whether it's literally delivered to your doorstep via truck. And what if I told you that it was half the price of a standard large cheese and pepperoni? Right now, you can get a two-pack of large cheese and pepperonis from La Via Italia for $19. I love it because it gives me something that I can throw in the oven and not have to fight with some guy on Grubhub or worry about some sloppy teenager knocking over on its way to my house. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can just get fresh pizza made the way Buffalonians like it, delivered directly to my home. LaViaItalia.net, LaViaItalia.net. Again, La Via Italia. We're going to link it in the show's description. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. They are the official post-game pizza of the Rock Pile Report.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.